So today I'm chatting with Abe Pardee of Pardee Metal, and Abe creates creative custom metalwork. He creates a lot of art, magnets, towel racks, belt buckles, pendants, forks, spatulas, candlesticks, menorahs, tomahawks, furniture, sculptures, railings, gates. Did I leave anything out?
That's pretty good coverage. Yeah, I'd say that's a fair list.
Yeah, and you had a lot of stuff going on. It's really, really amazing. How would you describe your style of work?
Oh, geez. Well, I'm very focused on the forging process. That's a big part of my aesthetic. It sort of drives a lot of the way everything looks, you know. You hear artists say process-oriented, and I definitely think, without necessarily always remembering it, I'm definitely process-driven, but I don't know. It's hard to describe my aesthetic to myself. It just certain aspects seem to crop up, but I do such a wide variety of things that it keeps it interesting, and I don't feel like I'm ever hemming myself into a certain area of design or focus.
Yeah, I'm like that with my art. I can't stick with just, you know, there's some artists, they stick to a theme.
Sure.
Forever.
And I can respect when you find something that works for you and that you do well and really running with that. I don't have the focus to or the perseverance to just dial down on one thing and keep driving at it over and over and over again. And my mind wanders and I want to try something new and something different and experiment.
Yeah, so, I'm with you there 100%.
For better or worse.
Absolutely. So did you receive your training at the Appalachian Center for Craft?
I did, yes. I got my BFA there in 2010.
Okay. And was that, did you know that you wanted to be an artist early on? How did that come to be?
No, not at all. I grew up around art and I drew constantly from a very young age. Well, maybe not constantly. I drew a lot from a very young age and was exposed to a lot of art. Coming into adulthood, I was pretty adrift. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I don't think that's a terribly uncommon scenario in our current age. But so I ended up spending 3 years as an open major and then a psychology major, which was very interesting, and it was good time for me to grow a little and, you know, leave my teen years behind. But it was not a path I was going to continue, and I kind of recognized that. And so on a bit of a whim, I came back to Tennessee, where my folks live, where I'd gone to high school, and enrolled in the program there at the Craft Center, because I had taken a weekend workshop there when I was in high school doing, you know, J-hooks and fire pokers and a boot scraper. And I just thought that was really neat back then, but I had no idea that people did that for a living. I thought Renaissance fairs and, you know, pioneer villages. I didn't know there was a contemporary blacksmithing at the time.
Yeah. And it was always metal for you then, nothing else?
I flirted with glass when I was at the Craft Center. And I like making in all forms, but there are certain media I'm very untalented with. For instance, I am not very I'm not very skilled with color. I'm a functional drawer. I'm not a art drawer. I do a lot of drawing and sketching to plan out my projects and to present ideas to my clients, but I don't think I've ever made it. Well, with a couple exceptions, I don't think I've made many drawings I would want to frame or put up on the wall, you know, but they serve a purpose. They get me to that place where I can then work in the 3D space, which is where I'm compelled.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because pretty much everything you create is functional.
Yeah, a lot of it is. You know, I've definitely done some sculptures both speculatively and for commission, but the nice thing about function is it gives you a parameter. Sculpture can be so open-ended. And I guess, you know, an intrepid sculptor can give themselves an assignment, quote-unquote, to make some artificial parameters. But when it's a bench and someone has to be able to sit on it and feel comfortable and reach the floor and so on and so forth, then you know X, Y, and Z has to be met. And then it kind of gives you a frame within which to do all your other design and take it as far as you want. And that's a fun challenge for me. Gives me a goal, but but still leaves so much open.
Gotcha. More of our conversation with Abe Pardee coming up on the scene. I'm chatting today with Abe Pardee of Pardee Metal. Abe creates creative custom metal work. You create a lot of work. So run me through start to finish. Like, for instance, your menorah. That's pretty interesting. How'd you create that? And what even, like, inspired you to create that?
So the menorahs are a particular thing that I'm glad you picked out, because since about 2015, well, I made my first one in 2011 or 12, I think. And then in 2015, I decided that I didn't have one, and Hanukkah was coming up, and I wanted to light some candles and have that little celebration just to connect with my culture and my upbringing. So I made one that year and then ended up selling it. And then since then, pretty much, I've made a new one every year that's a different design. So going back to what I said about creating a challenge based on function, that's a really good example of that, where it has to have this many candles. They have to be, you know, in relation to one another in this particular aspect ceremonially. You know those parameters, and then from there you can go as wild as you want, as long as you can make it work. So typically I'm working with steel bars that come in 20-foot lengths off of the truck from the steel supplier, and I cut them on my bandsaw to the lengths I need, and then usually using tongs to hold the ends so I'm not toasting my fingers, I'll put them in my gas or coal forge and heat them up to about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's the working temperature I'm typically looking at for steel. And I use a hand hammer and anvil, and also power hammers to squeeze and push that steel in whatever direction I need it to move. So I'm basically just treating it like clay. So I always tell people, anything you can do with a lump of clay or lump of Sculpey, you can do with a hot bar of steel. Hmm. Just higher pressure, and you got to put a barrier between yourself and the hot material.
Yeah.
And so draw out that material to whatever size and length and shape that I need, do the manipulations. And with a project like that, you know, those candle cups require several different pieces of tooling that I had to design and make, and trial and error to get that dimpled shape with the divot that the candle sits in. And so that's all a process of experimentation. That's the sort of mad scientist aspect of blacksmithing. And there's very few blacksmiths I've ever met that aren't making a bunch of their own tooling and doing that process of design, invent, and then execute. And maybe fail, maybe succeed in making a particular new form or function. So that's a big part of what's exciting about it to me, too. And then from there, you know, it's fitting things up, lining your holes up. There's a lot of careful, with that particular piece, there was a lot of careful layout, because I had a dozen plus holes that all had to line up in two exact locations to put the rivets through to hold everything together. So, you know, it's just a lot of layout time. There's a lot of time out of the forge where you've got your partly finished pieces and you're using a scale rule and a carbide scribe to mark and center punch and lay out your holes and things. And then you go back to the fire and do the next process. And, once that's all done, you've riveted everything together, set all the angles, then there's a bunch of hand scrubbing with a wire brush. That's one of my finishes that I usually use. It's sweaty and dirty and not my favorite process, but it yields the finished result. And then the thing that always blows me away is putting the finish on. You never want to leave raw metal, because it not only is it unprotected from the elements and can rust from your finger oils or from, you know, moisture in the air, but it just doesn't look finished.
Yeah.
It's got a sort of dusty gray look to it. But if you put a coat of wax on it or a coat of lacquer on it, I always say it usually darkens it down about a shade and a half on the shade scale. And it just makes the color pop. It makes the blacks come out and makes the shiny silver bits come out where you've scuffed it up. And that's when the piece is finished.
Amazing. More of a conversation with Abe Pardee coming up on the scene. I'm chatting with Abe Pardee today. He creates creative custom metal work, and he's the owner of Pardee Metal. So, Abe, you create an array of art. And so it's like, you know, we said a lot of it's functional, and you said you do create some sculptural. So I find it interesting. I feel like more of your work is functional. What
sure.
What inspires you to create functional work?
You know, that's always a tough question, as you acknowledged. But I think it's just, I'm like I said before, I'm driven by the process. I love to take this hard material, make it soft by heating it, and squeeze it and move it and push it into new weird directions that just take it totally out of the context of that cold, straight bar with corners that comes from the mill. And so, again, the functional items are kind of like the assignment, the framework, and an opportunity to look at what's out there and how that object is typically made that we're used to seeing, and then go outside of that paradigm, go as far from that possibly as you can. Not always too far, but I like to push the realms of what is conceptually understood to be a spatula or a chair or whatever. And that's just really exciting for me. I can't quite explain why, but I don't know, something about that uniqueness and chasing that that new and different. You know, they say everything's been done, and in some regards that's true, but at the same time, there's so many combinations of the way to look at stuff that you can always come up with a novel approach. So
I've heard that before, everything's been done. I don't like that.
It's not wrong. It's just not nice.
we're never wrong. You know, there's truth in everything. There's truth in everything. But when I paint, I don't feel like nobody's going to do it the way that I do it. You know what
sure.
I mean? Nobody's going to create metal the way that you create it. So, I mean, their paper towel racks have been made before, but have they been made by you?
Yeah.
In your specific way that you do them. And what I like about your work is, you know, I was looking at it, and I mean, it's so cool to have railings made by an artist. Like, that's just really cool. Or you're sitting in a chair, and it was made by an artist. Like, it's handmade. Like, to me, that's just like fascinating. I don't know. It has like a magical element to it. Is there any reason why you create the things that you do create? Like, is there any energetic pull?
I do, as far as functional work's concerned, I do really like the idea of it being a daily part of someone's life. And that's fun for me. And getting to live with some of my work and other people's work, because as many craft artists, when I can afford to, try to collect my fellow craftsmen's, craft person's work. And I have, you know, my own cherished items at home by other artists that I do live with, and I appreciate all the little details, even if it's in a media that I don't really have a deep understanding of, to get to appreciate that every day and kind of see it fresh eyes every morning and look at it anew and soak in all that attention to detail and all that consideration that goes in that I might not even fully conceive of, but I know it's there. And to do that for someone else is fun. And, you know, I like to think about, I'm very detail focused on a lot of things, and I go into great depth in my work as far as considerations about parts of the project or parts of the item that someone may never even look at. But I know it's there, and I know that if someone is really thinking about it, they'll recognize it, they'll appreciate it, even if they don't fully understand it.
I 100% feel you on that, because people, they don't see what we're putting in, but we know it's there, and it's fun. Maybe one day they'll see it. They'll see that little attention to detail or something extra that we put in. They'll notice it and they'll feel it. Well, Abe, where can people find your work?
Well, I'm on Instagram as Pardee Metal, PardeeMetal. And I have a website, partymetal.com.
Thank you so much, Abe. We appreciate you. And that's it.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
All right.